There. I always like remembering on Father's Day, for whatever reason, that it's a day for us as believers to really celebrate our Heavenly Father. Because He's the reason why all of us are here. We are part of His design and His plan. And He has shown us the most awesome expression of love in His Son, Jesus Christ. So we're going to celebrate Jesus today in a couple of different ways. We're going to worship first, and then we're going to actually remember Him in communion. Father, we just ask right now, Lord, that You would bless our time together. Lord, we know that Your word says, Lord, that we're gathering around You, Lord, in Your name, Lord. You're there in the midst. And so, Lord, we pray, Lord, that we would experience You, Lord, in a real and tangible way today. Lord, for those that are listening online, for those, Lord, that are hungering and thirsting, Lord, for more of You, for righteousness, God, I pray that You would empower them, Lord, to live above their circumstances, to move beyond, Lord, the situations that the enemy has planted before them that have tripped them up and caused them to stumble, Lord. Lord, we just ask that Your heavenly forces, God, would be released to break down those walls, break down those barriers, Lord, that they haven't been able to experience everything that You have for them. Lord, we just ask right now, Lord, that our hearts would turn towards You, that we'd become attuned, Lord, with Your presence this morning. And Lord, that we would be able to receive everything that You have planned for us to receive today. In Jesus' name, amen. We can stand.
God wants you to know today that you're not forgotten. You're not forgotten. The promises that he's given you, he hasn't forgotten. He's not a father that just spouts off false promises, empty promises. He's a Father that's faithful with what He says. He's a Father that shows up. Hold on to that truth today. Hold on to the truth that our Father is a good Father. Is a good Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Glory.
should do communion in this atmosphere. I don't think there's going to be any better moment. So, Father, we just come before your throne of grace right now, Lord, and we're going to remember, Lord, what you have done for us, how you sacrificed your life. You freely laid it down. No one took it from you. You freely laid it down so that we could have life, so that we could have life. So the way we take communion here is we come up to the table and we receive the elements. We'll get them for you guys, okay? Oh, already taken care of. Thank you. Yeah, we normally just gather around here. Post-COVID, some people might feel a little weird gathering so close, but so you can go back if you want. But it says in the Word that on the night that Jesus was going to be betrayed into the hands of sinful men, we have more. Do we need more? He said that on the night that he was going to be betrayed in the hands of sinful men. Oh, Jesse. You got it. Okay, hang on. Just making sure everybody gets it. If you're at home, you can just, grab a piece of bread and some water. And you know what? It's good with God because it's all about by faith and your heart. We're using these pre-configured communion style today. But Jesus said, this is my body and my blood, and this is being poured out and given to you. And the reason that he did that, I believe, established communion is so that we have a contact point for us, because we're very physical people. He knew we needed something tangible that we could hold, something that we could take into us and realize that just as we take in these elements, we have God living in us. Now, at pre-service prayer, I prayed this prayer that the Word of God says that the life is in the blood. And what that means is that our blood cells are full of life. Years ago when people were sick, they used to drain blood out of them, thinking that that would get rid of the evil. But the life was in the blood, and they would get sicker, of course, because we discovered that literally the life is in the blood. And I know many of us, we need a touch of life because a lot of the world feels kind of dead, or feels like it's on its way to being dead. But God is the giver of life. And he gave his life so that we could have life. His body was broken so that we could be made whole. Phyllis, after we're done with communion, come on up and we're going to pray for you for your healing. And anyone else that has something in their body, when you take communion today, I encourage you to realize that this piece of wafer that we're going to break, that's a representation as we bite into it, that Jesus' body was broken for us. And it was broken so that we could be made whole. Not just made whole, so that, if we have a broken arm, it heals. But so that all the brokenness that's inside of us, our heart, our soul, our mind, wounds from the past, they can be made whole. That's what Jesus did for us. We don't have to live life in misery. We don't have to live life in pain and brokenness. Jesus made a way for us to have wholeness. That's why he was broken. Not just so that we could die and go to heaven, but he made it so that our life here could be an abundant life. And that's good news. That's good news in this world that is seeking life everywhere. We carry the abundant life of God. So let's just go ahead and take the top of this off. They're like in three parts. We can always have a problem with it. Grab the wafer. And we're just going to hold this up before God. We're going to say, Lord Jesus, thank you for being broken for us. Lord, that you were broken so that we could be made whole. Lord, in Isaiah 53, it says that by your stripes, we've been made healed, Lord. your stripes. You were wounded for our transgressions. You were crushed for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon you. And by your stripes, we are made whole. We are healed. So, Lord, today we just remember you, Lord, as you ask in your word. And we proclaim your death once again, Lord, as your children, as your believers. And we ask, Father, that that everything that you have designed in this piece of bread for us, Lord, whether it's health for our bodies or wholeness for our minds and our hearts, whatever part of us may be broken, Lord, that as we take part in this communion today wafer, that we would receive the life and the health that it's meant to bring us. In Jesus' name, go ahead and take it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. What can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make us whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Now, I know this is juice, but, you know, Jesus said when he took the wine and he poured it, this is the new covenant in my blood. And so I believe that as we drink this, that we by faith can receive the life flow that's in the blood of Jesus. It's in the sacrifice of Jesus. You know, God the Father demonstrated his love with the greatest gift of all, and that was his Son. And he didn't hold him back. He didn't say, well, just do just a little bit because it's going to be hard for me to see you in that state. Can you imagine seeing your son, your daughter, in a state of brutality and not deserving it? And yet the Heavenly Father allowed that to happen. Why? Because of love. So I want to encourage us to remember that this is a gift of love. And it's the ultimate price that was paid for us so that we could have life, have health, and be whole. So let's go ahead and open that. Be careful, it's tricky to open. Let's go and hold it up before the Father. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your gift of your Son. And Jesus, we thank you that your blood was spilled for us, that your life flow was spilled for us, Lord, so that we could have life and life abundantly. Lord, if there's anything in our bodies, Lord, that especially that's inside, internal, Lord, that we are unaware that something's wrong, Lord, we pray right now that as we take part, Lord, in your sacrifice of your blood, Lord, that we would receive everything that we need, Lord, for restoration and healing. Everything that is the life of God, in Jesus' name. Go ahead and receive. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And what can wash? And what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood. is so much sweeter than anything I've tasted.
Wanted to share something with you today on Father's Day, being that it's Father's Day, and something came to my heart, just being thankful. And as many some of you may know, you know, my dad was taken. It's been 35 years now, but I'm thankful that my father had the heart of the Father. I'm thankful that he wasn't ashamed of the gospel. Just standing right there right now, just remembering back one incident. We're working in the cherries. we're working in the cherries, and we took a lunch break. And the people that are around him next to us, they sat down with us. And my dad was not ashamed of the gospel. He started sharing the gospel with them. And as a child, I see that. And then my dad was not ashamed of it. He was not ashamed of what God had done in his life. He shared it wherever he went. And as fathers, we carry a big responsibility. I know that, with families. I just encourage you to get a hold of the Father's heart. Get a hold of the Father's heart. Because even though my dad's been gone for 35 years now, it had a huge impact in my life. See how he was uncompromising with the Word of God. Watching him walk in his faith. He didn't look to the side, he didn't look to the back. He just kept looking forward. And I'm very thankful for that. Big shoes to fill sometimes, me being a father now. I find myself overwhelmed. I know as fathers do with their children. Sometimes we wish that we can make the decisions for them. Don't go down that path. We've been down there, you know. But have faith. Get a hold of the Father's heart. It'll help you immensely. It'll help you get through it. And I'm thankful on this Father's Day, not only for my earthly father, but my Father in heaven, who saved me and had compassion on me. Be encouraged. Amen.
Yeah, be encouraged. We all have our stories and the pain that we've had to experience in life. But I know even for Moses, that pain has done something in him that he carries another part of God that we who haven't gone through those same experiences don't have. And just know that the difficulties that we face and the blessings that we receive all have a purpose in God. You know, I was talking to somebody the other day, and again, you know, about going to the hospital in January, and I just told him, I said, listen, my life is in the Lord's hands, so if something happened, he allowed it. And so that means that he can make something beautiful out of something that was a tragedy. And I know he's done that in your life, in your family's life, Moses. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, team. That's awesome. Praise the Lord. Yeah, amen. Praise the Lord. Uh-oh. Somebody realizes they weren't with mom. Who is this? He enjoyed resting a while, though. That's good. So, do you want to go ahead and talk to the dads for a moment? Okay. Let them know.
Good morning, family. So, wow, that was really delayed. Good morning, family. Dads, we honor you this morning. My dad has been in heaven now for about 5 years, and I miss being able to say Happy Father's Day to him. I was so blessed to have a godly father, and I just know what a blessing it is to be able to share that special time with him when he was here on earth. However, he's having a way better Father's Day in heaven than he ever could on earth, so I'm fine with that. So, dads, if you would stand, we'd like to honor you. Come on, papas, let's stand up. Good man, yes. So if everybody could extend their hands toward the dads, we're going to pray over them. Father, we just lift our fathers to you. Lord, we just pray blessing on them and a special awareness, Lord, in their minds of who they are to you, God. Father, as we've gone through the toughest time as people in the past couple years, I pray that your touch on their lives as fathers would be extra special this year, God. Father, that you would bless them, that the plans that you have for their life, the yes and the amen that you have for their lives would come to fruition this year, God. Father, that they would know that they know that they know they're your son. And because they're your son, they are special in your sight. So we pray blessing on them and we honor them today in Jesus' name. Amen. So afterwards, there's a little treat over on the counter over here for all the dads. Just help yourself to one and be blessed in the name of Jesus, and you can be seated. So as you see, the slide behind is called Between Sundays, and I said that somewhere in February, I think, and Eric and Nancy really grabbed onto it. Because it matters what we do between Sundays. You know, we come here to get equipped to handle the in-between. We come here on Sunday mornings to get an infusion of Holy Spirit's power in our life so that Monday through Saturday, we are well equipped to handle what comes to us. So between Sundays matters so much because that's where the rubber meets the road in a Christian's life, not coming to church on Sunday. This is the added bonus right here, this getting to be with each other. This is the added bonus, but what we do between Sundays matters so much more. So there's an opportunity for youth on Monday nights from 6:30 to 8:30 at Pastor Eric and Nancy's house. And if you have any questions or you need a ride for your student, please come and see them afterwards. And I want to especially talk to the grandparents. If you are grandparents of youth, of families that don't attend a church, get your grandkids going on this because their heart is not just for the youth in our body. Their heart is for the youth of Yakima. And that's big. And that is huge. And so kids don't have to go to this church to attend this youth meeting and be blessed by God. They just need to know about it. And that comes from us between our Sundays. Yeah, no pressure at all. I have ladies that attend my Bible study on Tuesday night. They don't go to church. They just attend my Bible study. And so that's what we're about. We want to touch people's lives outside of these walls. These are just walls. This is not God's house. You're God's house. Amen? Oh, yeah. Better go. Anyway, so youth, 6:30 to 8:30. If you have questions or grandparents want more information or need a ride for your kids, please see Pastor Eric and Nancy. Women's Zoom meeting is on Tuesdays. If you would like to start Zooming in, we aren't meeting at the church. We're just doing a live Zoom. Just come see me after church. I'll give you all the information that you need. I will take your phone number so that I can text you. I do text on Tuesdays to remind everybody, hey, we have women's meeting tonight, 7:00. It lasts for 1 hour and you'll be so blessed. It is awesome because we have women from Michigan. We have women from Utah. Join us. via this Zoom meeting, and it's just awesome. It's just wonderful to see everybody's face. So if you'd like information about that, come see me. And then on Wednesday nights is Pastor Mike's men's group on Zoom, the same way that we have our women. So if you're interested, men, and you'd like to get connected to that meeting, please make sure and come see Pastor Mike so he can get your information to remind you on Wednesday, hey, meeting is tonight at 7 o'clock. Is there more besides this? Just click on it. Oh, it's up there. Okay, summer worship nights. Okay, guys, if you're in the sound of my voice, this is for you. It doesn't matter how long you've been coming. It doesn't matter if you're on Zoom and you can't make it because you work a graveyard and you can't get to church on Sundays. This Saturday night worship time is for everybody that can hear my voice and anybody you want to invite. We had such an awesome time in Eric and Nancy's backyard, the first one that we had. So the next one's going to be in Zeke and Tara's backyard. It's going to be July 10th, and we're going to get together. And we already had guests from another church, and now we understand there might be even another guest from another church coming. And so this is not just for us. It's for anybody that wants to come. So it's open to anybody. If you can, bring a chair because we may not have enough, or else bring a blanket and you can sit on the grass. You have plenty of chairs. Never mind, Tara has plenty of chairs. You don't need to bring a chair this time. But if you're more comfortable in your chair, bring your chair. Bring your own chair. That's fine. Okay, so the next thing is receiving. Oh, are you doing that? No, you're doing that. Oh, you're kidding me. Oh, I thought, I'm like, ooh, it just moved by itself. Sorry, I'm a little slow on the uptake. Okay. So we're a different kind of church. You probably have learned that, and if you haven't, you will so shortly. It won't take you very long. But we don't take offering. Gasp, shock. We don't take it. Jesus receives it by your own hand. This box that's right here, that's normally over there, this is a treasure box that a dear friend of ours, Mike, made for us. And it truly is a treasure to me because it's he took this box and put a hole in the top and sanded it and made it beautiful so that Jesus' treasures could be put in there. And if you don't like walking up front, there's one in the back. But however, when we give, whether it be our talents, whether it be our time, whether it be our money, whether it be anything, all Jesus asks is if you will bless me with the first tenth. That's what tithe means, the first ten. If you'll bless me with that, I will bless the extra 90. Isn't that crazy how that works? So when we have worship, a few people come up and put it in here, or they'll go back there and put it in there. It's part of who you are to God. It has nothing to do with us as a church. God still lets the lights come on. He still lets the cool air run through, or the heat in the wintertime. He's good like that. So when you're worshiping, if you will let God speak to your heart and say, hey, Tara, I just want to bless you this year. I want you to start learning to give to me, and I'm going to ask for everything that you give to me, just be the first tenth. Can you do that? That's just between you and God. Let's say that that happened. We would have no idea about it, but your growth would be astronomical because it's between you and him. You see what I'm saying? So your first tenth of your time, your money, your talents, whatever it is, if you'll just give it to Jesus, I promise you, he will do something with it. There's a song that we sang a long, long, long time ago. Eric, don't go there. And it was, what's that you have in your hand? I can use it if you are willing to lose it. So you just have to be willing to give it up and then watch Jesus do something with it. Amen? Okay, so is there somebody going to pray for the map and all that? Oh, good. Here.
Praise the Lord. So, it's done. Yeah. So it's finally done. Over here. This is what's going to go up in our foyer.
Foyer.
Foyer. There you go if you're French. The Yakima County did this for us. They did an amazing job. And as you see, it's covering all the central part of our county that has all the main places that we need to pray for. So I want to encourage you as you come in on Sunday mornings or midweek or whenever you're here to just stick out your hand and just bless Yakima as you drive around during the week. I mean, I got to do this. I got to remember this. I'm so tunnel vision. I'm going someplace. I'm thinking about it. Yeah, anybody else do that? But try to remember that we are a light to this city, that God has placed us all here for such a time as this. We all know that we have been chosen by God for this new, not normal that we're living in. And so this is our prayer map. And that's what we're going to start with in the foyer. Who knows? Maybe we'll add world maps. But we're going to become, like never before, a house of prayer. Because that's what one of the things that is our attribute as the temple of God. Because we are the temple of God. So what did Jesus say? We're a house of prayer. So, amen? Amen. And we can set this over here. So let's just extend our hand. We do this by faith. I know it's like, well, we're what are we doing here? Well, what we're doing is we're using this contact point right now to apply our faith for God to touch the city. Father, we just thank you for Yakima. Lord, the Yakima County, Lord, all of the cities, Lord, all the municipalities, Lord, all the nooks and crannies that are even small areas that aren't even named, Lord. We just ask you right now to touch them, Lord, with your mighty hand. Lord, we know that you have placed us here for such a time as this. So, Lord, we pray that you would allow our prayers right now to create a covering, Lord. We agree with all the prayers that have gone up all the years prior, Lord, that have blessed this city and have asked for your anointing to come, Lord, into this city. Lord, we ask right now, Lord, that any work of the enemy, Lord, would be broken down, Lord. Any work of the enemy trying to steal, kill, and destroy, Lord, would be broken. And that whatever has been meant for evil in Yakima, Lord, you would make for your good, Lord. Lord, that you would allow homes, Lord, to receive the presence of God. For homes, Lord, to receive the truth of the Word of God. Lord, for those, Lord, that are lost and have experienced, Lord, a lack in their life, Lord, we pray that your great gain would come to them, Lord. Lord, as we prayed before, Lord, the attribute that's being put on Yakima, that's the Palm Springs of Washington, Lord, we also pray that it would be the city of God, Lord, that this would be. Lord, that people would come here and say, I feel the presence of God, Lord, when they go and they interact with people, Lord, with your people. Lord, we thank you, God, for this city. We thank you, Lord, that you're working in it even now as we pray, and you have been working in it, Lord, because you love Yakima. In Jesus' name. Amen. And we've been praying for our government. In 1 Timothy 2, 1 and 2, in the message, it says, the first thing I want you to do is pray. Pray every way you know how for everyone you know. Pray especially for rulers and their governments to rule well so we can be quiet, so we can be quietly about our business of living simply in humble contemplation. In other words, we're praying for the government even though we don't agree with what they're doing, or if we do agree with what they're doing. We're praying because God's asking us to pray and bless them. Why? So that we can live a life of not in chaos. And some people say, well, it is chaos out there. Well, then that means we need to pray more. We need to pray that God bless our president, that God bless the House of Representatives, the Senate, that even though there's individuals there that probably have ulterior motives, that think that they're getting it up on the people and on God, he knows what's going on. And when we release him through prayer to reach those that, you know, it may be your prayer right now when we pray, as your agreement fills that incense holder in heaven, and all of a sudden something's broken and someone that was totally resisting God has an experience and they say, I need to change the way I think. And people meet them in Congress, and they meet him in the Senate or in the cabinet of where President Biden is, and they can say, what has happened to you? Well, let me tell you, I have experienced God, and I think we can change some of the ways we're doing things because it will bless us. That can happen. Our prayers can do the impossible. So, Father, right now we lift up our government to you, Lord. We lift up, Lord, the President Biden, his cabinet. Lord, we lift up, Lord, all of the different offices, Lord, that is overseen by the president, Lord, all the different department heads, Lord. We just ask you right now that you would bless them, Lord, that you would reveal your truth and release, Lord, your anointing over their lives. Lord, we know that even though we can't agree with everything that they're doing, Lord, we can agree with you to touch them. We can agree with you to open their eyes. We can agree with you, Lord, to let them experience your love, Lord, so that they're drawn out of any darkness. And Lord, we pray for our Senate. We pray for our Congress, Lord. We pray, God, that you would just touch that area, Lord, of where there's darkness and where there's apathy and where there's a discontentment, Lord. Lord, I pray right now that you would let people fall in love with you, Lord, that they would experience a love relationship with God that will help lead them, Lord, out of the darkness. They'll help lead them out of the lies, Lord, and that we can have truth established in this nation, love established in this nation. We know, Lord, that you're greater than any political scheme. You're greater, Lord, than any plan of the enemy, God. So we agree with you to bless this nation. Thank you, Lord. However you choose to do it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. So, today's message is obeying Father. I know when I was a kid, that word obey was like, oh man, I gotta obey, you know? Yeah. You know, when you were told not to get your hand in the cookie jar, you know? And to obey that or not obey that, right? But I was thinking about, okay, so how do I honor the Father today and fathers on Father Day? Father's Day. Father Day. I like Father Day better. I'm sorry. I really do, you know? Because, I mean, we're only fathers because of the Father. But anyway, I'm a little crazy that way. So let's go ahead and look at a few guys here that most of you will recognize. There's certain names in the Bible that when I see them, all of a sudden the story comes to mind of what they did, how they believed God, and how transformation was happened, and how transformation happened for others because of what they believed in. And so Joshua and Caleb, that's the two that said, hey, I've got a good report. Now, whether the 10 agreed with them or not, they still were ones that entered into the promised land, and they helped lead the others into the promised land. Caleb, at 80 years old, led his family and his whole clan to go in and take the place of the giants. That's a pretty good testimony. How about the spies and Rahab? I love that story, where an entire city was crushed down, yet one wall remained standing, and that was the wall that had a little red flag on it that was reminding them that this is not to be taken. Everybody that was in that tower was saved. So not just Rahab, not just her family, anybody that heard the news and gathered in there was saved from the attack on Jericho. And Rahab ends up becoming the father, I mean, the part of the fatherhood and the lineage of David, and then, of course, Christ. The sons of Issachar. Anybody know what that's about? Sons of Issachar. Yeah, that's one of those that people go, no, I don't know. Well, the sons of Issachar, they were a group of that tribe, and they believed that David was meant to be king of all of Israel, not just of Judah. And it says that they knew the times and the seasons, these sons of Issachar did, and they made the right decision because they knew the times they lived in. David and Jonathan, you guys know that story? David and Jonathan knitted hearts together. They said they loved each other almost more than they loved themselves. Jonathan was going to be the next king of Israel And yet he saw that David was meant to be king. He loved him so much that he said, Father, he's to be king. To the place where his own dad wanted to kill him. So here's one that everybody knows. The Rechabites. Right? What? You guys don't know the Rechabites? I mean, it sounds like something you need to spray for when you're out camping or something, right? Spray those Rechabites, don't get you. But when I think of the idea of the Father and obeying and honoring the Father, I think of the Rechabites. Does anybody know about the Rechabites? Probably just don't recognize the name. I bet you do, Moses, once you hear it. Once you see the story, you'll recognize it. So we're going to go to Jeremiah 35, 1 through 19. So I think what I'm going to first do is read through the whole thing, and then we'll come back. This is the ESV. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, go to the house of the Rechabites and speak with them and bring them to the house of the Lord into one of the chambers, then offer them wine to drink. So I took Jezaniah, the son of Jeremiah, son of Habazaniah, and his brothers and all his sons and the whole house of the Rechabites. I brought them to the house of the Lord into the chamber of the sons of Hanan, the son of Ildaliah. What? Igdalia. There we go. Igdalia. I don't think it's like that, but that's close enough. And there was some more on four, but I just said we'll go ahead and get to five. Then I set before the Rechabites pitchers full of wine and cups, and I said to them, drink wine. But they answered, we will drink no wine, for Jehonadab, the son of Rechab, our father commanded us, you shall not drink wine, neither you nor your sons forever. You shall not build a house. You shall not sow seed. You shall not plant or have a vineyard. But you shall live in tents all your days, that you may live many days in the land where you sojourn. We have obeyed the voice of Jehonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, in all that he commanded us, to drink no wine all our days, ourselves, our wives, our sons, and our daughters, and not to build houses to dwell in. We have no vineyard or field or seed. But we have lived in tents and have obeyed and done all that Jehonadab, our father, commanded us. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, go and say to the people of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, will you not receive instruction and listen to my words, declares the Lord? The command that Jehonadab, the son of Rechab, gave to his sons to drink no wine has been kept, and they drink none to this day, for they have obeyed their father's command. I have spoken to you persistently, but you have not listened to me. I have sent to you all my servants, the prophets, sending them persistently, saying, turn now, every one of you, from his evil way, and amend your deeds, and do not go after other gods to serve them. And then you shall dwell in the land that I gave to you and your fathers. But you did not incline your ear or listen to me. The sons of Jehonadab, the son of Rechab, have kept the command that their father gave them, but this people has not obeyed me. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I am bringing upon Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem all the disaster that I have pronounced against them. Because I have spoken to them, and they have not listened. I have called to them, and they have not answered. But to the house of the Rechabites, Jeremiah said, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, because you have obeyed the command of Jehonadab, your father, and kept all his precepts, and done all that he commanded you, therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Jehonadab, the son of Rechab, shall never lack a man to stand before me. What a powerful promise. The Rechabites. When I hear that name, all of a sudden, a picture comes to me. What comes to me is a group of individuals who obviously had a fear of God in them, because their life shows that. They were honoring their father. I bet they honored their mother. Now, most people say, well, yeah, you know, it's one thing to listen to your dad. But, you know, once you have a few generations down, you know, things kind of change. You know, people have different views. People learn things. People are more enlightened. And so we're going to change the way those things go on. Well, that might be the case for some, but not for the Rechabites. You know how long they had been probably serving their father's command like that? Close to 300 years. Yeah. Jonadab was actually in the Bible in 2 Kings, where he is with Jehu, who is rounding up all the worshipers of Baal and telling them to go to the temple of Baal. And he was part of that that big fire that they had when all the Baal worshipers were destroyed. So they had been around a long time following their commands of their father, of their ancestors. But really, they looked at it as our father commanded this, even though it was their great, 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 great grandfather. To them, they still honored that. And you can see how God was honoring them. Let's take a look at this in 6. They're saying, we will drink no wine, for Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father commanded us, you shall not drink wine. Then he goes on to not build houses. These guys were nomads. Now, a lot of people don't know, but these were of the Kenites, who were basically Moses' in-laws. And some of them came with them, and even though they weren't Jews, they still entered into relationship with Israel, and obviously probably set on the outskirts because they didn't have any houses. They lived in tents. Now, can you guys imagine what it would be like to live in tents your whole life? That'd be kind of different. But I wonder if it also kept them somewhat unattached to things. Because they seem to be pretty free. They don't seem to be grappling and trying to grab everything. They seem to be, you know what? We've lived a good life because we've honored our Father. So when God is bringing them in, not just to, you know, bless them, because he does bless them at the end, but he brings them in to make a point. And what's the point? The point is, here is this group of people, these individuals who have only association with their natural fathers, other than maybe a relationship with me through Israel. But these are ones that are obeying their earthly fathers to the place where they won't drink, even after Jeremiah, they're in the temple of God, go ahead and drink wine. Nope, we will not do that. We won't let it cross our lips. So what does that mean? That means that Israel then is being kind of like A and B being compared. They're in category B. A has just been brought to them. A has just been brought to them for you guys in that way. A is, listen, this group has listened to me. B is, here, I am God. I'm the one that delivered you. I'm the one that took you out of Egypt. I'm the one that took you through the Red Sea. All of the things that they had experienced of God, I've been with you in the temple. I've been with you, close by you. And yet, you've rejected me. You've not obeyed me. So what does this mean for us? What's it mean for me? What's it mean for you? Does it mean that we're being called to a greater life of obedience as believers? I think it is. I think if Israel, before Christ, were being called to obedience, how much more us? Right? I mean, to receive the love of God is wonderful. But what do we do with the love that we've received? Do we just hoard it and we just hold it and say, oh, I'm loved, but then go do our own thing? I mean, Israel had the blessings of God. I mean, during Solomon's time, there was no greater kingdom. And it says there never will be one like that. Basically, it was like silver coins were like pennies to them. I know it's hard for us to understand, but that's how much money they had. There was not like one poor among them. And then king after king after king started falling away from God. Now, every now and then you get a king who turned around and, hey, let's seek God, and they would. Israel, when they left and went up, they pretty much just left God by the wayside. Only time that they would probably repent is when, you know, one of the prophets would show up and give them a time of no rain or something like that. Say, okay, we need to repent because we need rain. I'm going to go and show you another verse here that I think goes along with it. This is 1 Samuel 15:22. And what had happened is that this is when King Saul was the first king of Israel. He had a situation where he was told to go and basically destroy a nation that was evil. And he was keeping the king alive and some of their animals to sacrifice to God. I don't know if he was going to sacrifice the king, but he had the king alive and he was going to sacrifice these animals. But he was told to destroy that nation. And what ended up happening is that Samuel shows up and says, Saul, what are you doing? Oh, well, we saved all these animals here for you so that we can now sacrifice them to God. Isn't it going to be great? We're going to give this great, huge offering to God of all these animals. And Samuel's like, no, Saul, that's not. And Saul was like someone that Samuel anointed first, and he was really hoping that he would get it. And he's like, no, Saul, what are you doing? Don't do this. Because Saul thought, hey, I don't care what God said. I'm going to do something that's for him. So if it's for him, it's got to be okay. It's kind of like this, you know, some people say, if you do anything for God, it's going to be good. You know, I've got this idea, I'm going to go out and do it. I'm going to go and, reach the city of Yakima, and I'm just going to go start just, you know, knocking on every door, you know, and you just think it's a great idea. Now, it sounds like a God idea, but maybe it's not the timing of the Lord. And maybe you're going to go out there and you're going to get burnt out because you don't have the inspiration of the Holy Spirit going on in you because you're out of God's timing. I know that's hard for us to believe. You mean reaching, doing an outreach? Yeah, if it's not the timing of God, it could be futile efforts. Eric actually said something to me the other day on a Marco Polo and reminding me that, you know, we don't want to do something that's before God's timing. Because then we're just going to get, you know, tuckered out. I don't know about you, but I don't want to grow weary in well-doing, especially if it's not something God's called us to right now. Now, has he called us to love everyone? Yeah, anytime we have an opportunity, we can love someone. You don't hold back love. Has he called us to be, you know, kids, good to our parents, you know, honoring our father and mother? Yeah, that's not. But I'm talking about when you're stepping out, you're going to go and do something like Saul did. Hey, we're going to go ahead and sacrifice all these animals to God, even though God didn't say to do it. So Samuel reminds him. How are we doing on time? Oh, we're a little over. Are we a little over? Just getting about there. But Samuel replied, what is more pleasing to the Lord, your burnt offerings and sacrifices or your obedience to his voice? Listen, obedience is better than sacrifice, and submission is better than the offering of the fat of rams. So if you think about what he's saying here, he's saying, Saul, I know you want to worship the Lord, these sacrifices, but you're doing that instead of just obeying in what he asked you to do. So what does that tell me? It tells me that an obedient heart is better than anything we can give God. Gay was just talking about giving, you know, for the tithe and offering. And, you know, people could give their 10% here or someplace else on Sunday or send to a charity somewhere and think, you know, I'm doing my part. But then when the Holy Spirit asks them to do something, they, oh, I'm not going to do that. You know, I give my money, but I don't want to go and actually, you know, walk across the street and, you know, shake hands with my neighbor, even though, you know, the Lord's putting on your heart to do it, you know. Or I don't want to be nice to this guy at work or this gal at work because they're not nice to me, even though God's putting on your heart to do it. You know what? That money that you're giving, maybe you even do it with a cheerful heart. If you're not being obedient in the things that are really important, love, honor, mercy, you know, truth, those things, then, you know, yeah, continue to do that, but really do the other. Because he desires obedience over sacrifice. I'm telling you, if we're of an obedient heart, we can learn the secret that Jesus learned about God. Because you know what it says in Hebrews? That Jesus himself learned obedience through the things that he suffered. That's hard to believe. God himself learned obedience through suffering. Isn't that crazy when you think about that? But the suffering, and sometimes being obedient, folks, is suffering. Because you're stepping out of your comfort zone. Or you're giving something that is uncomfortable because you're like, what am I going to do if I give this? You're being obedient. And in that suffering, something happens in us. And we're learning obedience. You know, it's like this. When we learn to do something in God, it's easier to do it next time. I believe those that are obedient and steward obedience have the gift of obedience. In other words, it's not like they have to conjure it up. It starts to become part of who you are. That's good news. I always like something when it's natural and I don't have to try to make it up. So I'll leave you with this. 1 John 5:2-3. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God. Now, did you guys hear that? This is the love of God. So he's giving us a description of the love of God. We know the love of God was demonstrated in Jesus. But how is the love of God for us and him demonstrated? It says here, with that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. What are some of his commandments? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love thy neighbor as thyself. You know, you could go back to the Ten Commandments, but they're summed up in those two. I like to call them the law of love. Because if you love God and you love people, you're living in the right kind of law. And it's easy to be obedient to God when you're that type of individual. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. Keep. Obey. Could use the same word. This is the love of God, that we obey his commandments. In other words, we know what he's asked us to do, so let's just live them. Let's just do them. Right? Can we do that? Well, sometimes. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. That's why we need to realize that God has empowered us to live holy and righteous. That I'm not putting something on you today and you're going like, how am I going to live up to this? Yeah, I was coming to celebrate Father's Day and now I'm like feeling like, oh my Lord, I'm not going to even measure up. No, we don't measure up. Not one of us in here can measure up ourselves. But God, the one that we celebrated with the communion, he lives in us. He lives in us. If there's anything that you need to get today to be obedient, realize that he lives in you. And because he lives in you, he's given you the power to overcome anything. And that includes your own disobedience. Right, buddy? Okay. He's given us the power to overcome even our own disobedience. Think about that. You're going like, well, how can I be obedient? He's given you the power. He's given you the power to be obedient. Why? Because he lives in you. The one who learned suffering or learned obedience through his suffering now lives in you. Ask him to teach you his obedience. I think a lot of times as Christian, we struggle with things that we don't need to struggle with. We fight through things that we don't need to fight with because we try to do it in our own strength. I did for years. But I'm telling you, we don't have to do that. We have the God living in us that has given us all things. I know I repeat it a lot, but it's because we need to be reminded. All things that pertain to life and godliness. Is obedience necessary for life? Yes. Is it necessary for godliness? Yes. Then he's given it to us. So someone's saying, oh, how do I find it? You find it by just giving yourself over to God. Not holding yourself back. Saying, Lord, I'm yours. And I know because I'm yours, you're going to live in me fully. And if you're living in me fully, I will be obedient. And when we're doing that, we're now expressing, as it says here, this is the love of God. And I don't even know how that all, I mean, I got to really think about that. You mean my obedience is a part of the love of God? Your love in my life, my love for you? If you love me, you'll keep my commandments, Jesus said. Milo's got something. Go ahead.
Okay, so Mr. Nunn.
And come here, hon, because, oh.
Hello?
There it is. You go. Okay. Right there.
So Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5 says, there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, in all, and living through all. That includes the unsaved, you guys.
I know, isn't that crazy?
However, he has given each one of us a special gift, and the Greek is a special grace, through the generosity of Christ. That is why the scriptures say, when he ascended into the heights, he led a crowd of captives and gave gifts to his people. You have a gift. You have a special gift and a special grace. Each one of us, it's a little different. And what you have and God has called you to be is not something that God can call or give to someone else the same way. You're going to reach people that I'm never going to reach. Look around. You know, who's in your life that God specifically put there for you to reach?
That's good. Amen. So next time you see the Rechabites, know that that's a powerful story of obeying the Father. And ask the Lord, if this group that is not really, quote unquote, the Christian group then, even though they were God-fearers, if they can be obedient to their earthly father, can you help me be obedient to you, Heavenly Father? Eric? Thank you, Lord. Lord, we just are so grateful once again, Father, for you just giving us everything that we need, Lord, for this life, and plus those special gifts, Lord, that are only ours and that only we can manifest, Lord, because of who you have made us to be. But Father, I pray right now, Lord, that this expression of love, Lord, that we can give back to you and show that your love is working in us, Lord, of obedience, of keeping your commandments, Lord, of following, Lord, your design for our life. Something that's not supposed to be burdensome, Lord, something that's not supposed to be all heavy and that we are all weighted down with it, Lord. Just like as you said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Lord, I pray that we would receive that truth in our heart today and that we could continue to grow in the knowledge and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and that we truly could be ones that live a life, Lord, that are representatives of that kingdom that he has brought because of his ultimate sacrifice. Thank you, Lord.
Forever you will be.
Have an awesome Father's Day. Don't forget your Father's Day goodies, sweet treats. She's packed a lot of sugar over there, so no dental bills required anyway. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. Love you guys.